I hope you're not too chilly. It's getting cold out there. It's starting to cool down.
Se está poniendo frito afuera.
Well, today we're going to continue our study on the story of the Old Testament.
Hoy vamos a continuar nuestro estudio sobre la historia del Antiguo Testamento.
You'll probably notice that we don't have the slideshow up here. I forgot my other little laptop on the way here and remembered here, so can't go all the way back to Capuline to get it. And so, if you have the book, just follow along this morning. Or if you would like to follow along in the Bible, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. That's where we will start this morning. And we're going to continue, as I said, our study on the story of the Old Testament.
Puede seguir en su libro, o si no, vamos a empezar en Jeremías 3, si quiere ir ahí en su Biblia.
And the title of the Sunday school lesson this morning is God Sends His Messengers.
Dios envía a sus mensajeros.
And so let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, and we do ask that you would bless our Sunday school lesson this morning. We pray that, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would enlighten our minds and give us understanding. We thank you for what you will do. Bless one and all, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The central truth of our lesson this morning is God sent the prophets to call his people to repentance.
Dios envió a los profetas para llamar a su pueblo al arrepentimiento.
Now remember, as we've gone through this overview of the Old Testament,
recuerde, en tanto hemos visto sobre el Antiguo Testamento,
the story of the Bible, beginning in the Old Testament all the way through to the New,
la historia empezando en el Antiguo Testamento hasta el Nuevo Testamento,
is a story of God's redemption plan.
Es la historia del plan de Dios para redención.
In the beginning, Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and they fell. That's the beginning, or what's called the fall of man.
En el principio, Adán y Eva escogieron pecar y cayeron.
How many of you are grateful that God loves human beings?
¿Cuántos están agradecidos que Dios ama al ser humano?
And he had this relationship with Adam. He would walk with him in the cool of the day.
Dios andaba con Adán ahí en el jardín.
But now, because sin had entered into the human race, he had to cause them to leave the garden.
Pero porque el pecado entró, Dios los mandó afuera del jardín.
And that was the beginning. From there, God's redemption plan would begin to happen.
Y desde ahí empezó el plan de Dios para redención.
God would eventually flood the earth, and we remember Noah and the ark.
En el tiempo de Noé vino el diluvio.
God would raise up Abraham, or Abram initially, to be the man through whom the Jewish race would begin.
Dios levantó a Abraham, y por medio de él, los judíos, el raza de los judíos empezó.
Of course, he's also the beginning of the Arab race.
Y también empezó los árabes.
Through Abraham and God's covenant with him, he said the whole nations of the earth would be blessed.
Pero por medio del pacto que Dios hizo con Abraham, él dijo que todas las naciones iban a ser bendecidas por él.
Isaac, the son of promise, was eventually born.
El hijo de promesa, Isaac, nació.
Eventually, Isaac and Rebekah would have Jacob and Esau.
Isaac y Rebekah tuvieron a Jacob y Esau.
Jacob would eventually become Israel.
Jacob se conoció ahora como Israel.
His son Joseph ended up in Egypt and became the second in command, if you will.
Josué se encontró en Egipto y estaba en el liderazgo allí.
And God used all of the circumstances of Joseph's life to save the Israelites.
Y Dios usó las circunstancias para salvar a Israel.
That small tribe of Israel eventually ended up in Egypt and became a nation.
El tribu de Jacob se encontró allí en Egipto y se hicieron nación.
And after 430 years in Egypt, there in Egypt, God would raise Moses up to become their deliverer.
Y después de estar ahí en Egipto como esclavos por 430 años, Dios levantó a Moisés como líder.
God would raise, or God would bring them out of Egypt and establish the old covenant, or a covenant with his people.
Y Dios formó pacto con su pueblo.
They promised to obey.
Ellos prometieron obedecer.
But sadly, they eventually would disobey and become idolatrous.
Pero tristemente se hicieron se encontraron en la idolatría.
Eventually they wanted to be like the nations around them and said, we want a king, just like the nations.
Ellos querían ser como las naciones alrededor y pidieron por un rey.
God gave them their desire and they first got King Saul.
Dios les dio su deseo y Saúl fue rey.
King Saul disobeyed God, was unfit as a king.
Él desobedeció a Dios y no era buen rey.
And so God raised up King David.
Y Dios levantó al rey David.
A man after his own heart.
Un hombre que tenía corazón para Dios.
David wanted to build the temple for the Lord, but he wasn't allowed to because he was a man of blood.
David quería construir el templo para Dios, pero no pudo porque él era hombre de guerra.
And so David's son Solomon would eventually do what David desired to do.
Pero su hijo Salomón lo hizo.
And then sadly, of course, as we've seen all of these lessons leading up to today's lesson.
Y todas nuestras lecciones vienen a este punto hoy.
Solomon's wives eventually caused him to turn away from the living God.
Las esposas de Salomón hicieron que él se volviera pecado.
And after Solomon's death,
y después de su muerte,
the kingdom of Israel was divided between Israel to the north and Judah to the south.
El reino se dividió al norte y al sur.
Israel to the north was constantly in idolatry and disobedience to God.
Israel al norte siempre se encontraba en la idolatría.
And Judah to the south had some godly kings and some bad kings, but they tended to serve the Lord a little bit more than Israel to the north.
Y Judá al sur, ellos sirvieron a Dios un poco. Ellos tenían jueces y ese tipo de reinado.
And all of that leads up to our lesson this morning.
Y ahora todo eso nos lleva a nuestra lección de hoy.
God's people had become idolatrous.
El pueblo de Dios se encontraba como en idolatría.
They were worshiping the gods of the Canaanites and of the nations around them.
Estaban adorando los dioses de las naciones alrededor.
And God loves his people.
Y Dios ama a su pueblo.
In a way, he describes his relationship with them as the marriage relationship between a husband and a wife.
En una manera se describe su relación con su pueblo como un matrimonio.
And so he would call to them through the voice of the prophets.
Y Dios les llamó por medio de los profetas.
And that's our central truth. God sent the prophets to call his people to repentance.
Dios envió a los profetas para llamar a su pueblo a al arrepentimiento.
Our key verse this morning is from the book of Amos.
Nuestro versículo clave es en Amos.
And it's chapter 3 and verse 7.
3:7.
Does somebody want to read our key verse this morning? Amos 3, verse 7. It's a powerful verse. I want you to consider what it says.
Es un verso poderoso. Considere lo que dice aquí.
Surely the sovereign Lord, this is God Almighty.
Esto es Dios Todopoderoso.
He does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets.
No hará nada sin que revele su secreto a sus siervos, los profetas.
And so God was about to deal with his own people.
Dios quería tratar con su misma gente.
And he would reveal his plan in his heart to his own people through the voice of the prophets.
Y quería revelar su plan por medio de los profetas.
The prophets were both forth-tellers and foretellers of God.
Los profetas profetizaban lo que era de venir para Dios.
They spoke about future events.
Hablaban del futuro.
But they also spoke what God was speaking then.
Y también hablaban del presente.
They were the mouthpiece of God.
Eran como la boca de Dios hablando por él.
But this verse is very appropriate even for our day.
Y este verso pertenece aún en nuestro día.
God will do nothing but that he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets, his plans.
Porque no hará nada Jehová el Señor sin que revele su secreto a sus siervos, los profetas.
Now, if I were an Israelite back in that time, and I don't know if you would probably say the same thing.
Si yo hubiera sido uno de los israelitas en aquella época, y quizás usted piensa el mismo.
We would probably say something like, I would never bow down to an idol.
Quizás decíamos, yo nunca habría inclinado ante un ídolo.
You know, it's easy for us to be critical of the Israelites, isn't it?
Es fácil ser que nosotros podemos criticar a los israelitas.
We don't even realize how blessed we are to have been born and raised here in the United States of America.
A veces no sabemos cuánto estamos bendecidos de poder nacer y estar aquí en los Estados Unidos.
But sometimes we can be critical of Israel's idolatry, thinking we wouldn't do the same.
Es fácil criticar y decir que nosotros no íbamos a hacer eso.
But would
mismo.
We?
Pero, ¿es verdad o no?
Really, would we be just like the Israelites, or would we be more righteous than they?
¿Lo haríamos como los israelitas, o seríamos más justos?
Like I said, it's easy to criticize what happened to them.
Es fácil ser críticos de lo que ellos hicieron.
I mean, consider the Israelites.
Vamos a considerar los israelitas.
How God brought them out of Egypt.
Como Dios les trajo de la esclavitud de Egipto.
The amazing supernatural miracles of God.
Los milagros de Dios.
The story that they had in their relationship with God in Israel's history.
La historia que ellos tenían con Dios.
No other nation on the earth had seen God move in such a way.
Ninguna otra nación había visto Dios mover como ellos.
How could they be turning to other gods?
¿Y cómo podían ellos seguir ídolos?
We could ask that same question of America today.
Pero podemos preguntar esa misma pregunta de América hoy.
How could America be turning to other gods?
¿Cómo puede América seguir otros dioses?
Let me ask you a question you can answer.
Déjame preguntarle.
What kinds of things do people sometimes put alongside of God as a source of hope or security for their lives?
¿Qué cosas ponen a veces la gente como esperanza o seguridad para sus vidas?
The Israelites, you see, they began to practice their worship of God in regards to the fact that they were Jews.
Ellos empezaron su adoración en la verdad que eran judíos.
But they joined in their worship of God with the worship of other gods. They kind of mixed it all together.
Pero unieron su adoración de Dios con la adoración que otras naciones tenían también.
On the one hand, it's like they attended church on Saturdays.
En una manera, es como decir que atendieron a la iglesia en sábado.
Because they were Jews, they went to the synagogue on Saturdays, right?
Porque eran judíos, iban al sinagogo el sábado.
They were religious.
Eran religiosos.
But they also, with their practice of worshiping God,
pero también en adorar a Dios,
they began to worship the things of the nations around them along with their worship with God. It was a compromise.
Mezclaron su adoración con otros dioses de las naciones alrededor.
Some of that idolatrous worship supposedly promised that their crops would grow, that these gods or deities would give them rain.
A veces en la idolatría, uno de los dioses prometían que sus que en el campo lo que plantaban iban a ser bendecido.
And so there was mixture.
Estaban mezclados.
So the question again, what kinds of things do people sometimes put alongside of God as a source of hope or security in their lives?
La pregunta otra vez, ¿qué tipo de ayuda a veces las personas tienen para de Dios para tener seguridad o esperanza?
Does anybody want to say anything?
¿Qué son sus pensamientos?
The saints, some people believe if you have, you know, I remember back in the day when I was a Roman Catholic, they would put little figurine saints in their cars so as to protect them from a wreck, right? Worshipping saints. What do you all think? Is that true? Hopefully not among us that much, but it's true in the religious realm, isn't it? What else? Candles? What else? Works? Feeling that if you do certain kinds of works, then God's going to do this and this for you? What else? I want to say something, but I don't want to step on any toes. How about church attendance? Whoop, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Sometimes we think, you know, if I attend church enough, well, then God's going to bless me. God's going to take care of me. But we're not really walking hand in hand with our Lord.
El pensamiento es, a veces podemos también usar la razón que atendemos la iglesia y decir, yo atiendo a la iglesia, pero al mismo tiempo no estamos andando en mano a mano con nuestro Dios.
Now, I don't want to... What I just said can be pretty controversial in a way.
No quiero traer contradicción con lo que dije.
And I'm not saying don't attend church.
No estoy diciendo que no debemos atender a la iglesia.
But our reason for attending church should be out of the overflow of our relationship with God.
Pero nuestra razón de atender es por medio de nuestra abundancia, de nuestro amor por Dios.
But there could be many answers, like superstitions.
Podemos ver otras respuestas como supersticiones.
You know, if I wear a certain kind of necklace with a cross on it, that means I'll be protected.
Quizás pensamos, si yo uso algo que tiene una cruz, entonces... voy a ser protegida.
Yeah, there are some Christians that will be out there messing around and looking at horoscopes.
O a veces miran lo que se llama los horóscopos.
You know, just let me just see how my day is going to go, and they go and look at these horoscopes.
Piensan, déjame ver cómo va a ser mi día, y lo miran.
This is idolatry.
Pero esto es la idolatría.
You see, what was happening, the Israelites worshiped both God and idols.
Los Israelitas alababan a Dios y los ídolos.
They weren't exclusive in their worship.
No estaban de singular mental sobre Dios.
To be exclusive means that it's only God, nothing else.
De ser exclusivo quiere decir que solamente era para Dios y nada más.
But what we need to understand is that the Israelites, you know, even though the prophets are now going to be speaking the word of the Lord to them.
Necesitamos entender, aunque las profetas iban a hablar el mensaje de Dios a ellos.
Idol worship crept into the Israelite camp even all the way back to Moses.
La idolatría entró al campo hasta los días de Moisés.
You all remember when Moses... brought them out, and they ended up at the foot of Mount Sinai.
Recuerde cuando Moisés los trajo, allí estaban en el monte Sinaí.
He ended up there and stayed there a little bit too long for their comfort.
Y Moisés se quedó allí en el monte por un largo tiempo.
And so they said to Aaron, make us a god.
Y la gente pidió a Aarón, haznos un dios.
And they gave them all their gold and jewelry, and they eventually fashioned that golden calf.
La gente dio todo su oro a Aarón, y él formó la vaca, or becerro. Okay.
Think about it.
Piénsalo.
Idolatry.
La idolatría.
Is in the fallen nature of man.
Está en el hombre de nuestro caída.
I mean, God had just brought them out of Egypt.
Dios había traído los israelitas afuera de Egipto.
Moses is hearing from God right from his lips directly.
Dios estaba hablando a Moisés directamente.
And they're fashioning this golden calf.
Y ellos estaban formando un ídolo.
And then they go right into their flesh.
Y entraron en su carne.
And of course, when Moses sees this,
y cuando Moisés lo vio,
eventually 3,000 of them would die.
3,000 gente murió.
And so let's get into this morning.
Vamos a entrar.
Jeremiah chapter 3.
Jeremías 3.
Our first part is entitled Repent and Return to Covenant.
Arrepentirse y regresar al pacto.
And our first point underneath that is idolatry is infidelity against God.
La idolatría es infidelidad contra Dios.
Jeremiah chapter 3 verses 6 through 13.
Jeremías 3 versos 6 a 13.
If anybody's there, somebody want to read those verses. These are the words of Jeremiah the prophet, and they're actually the words of the Lord through Jeremiah to his people.
Estos son las palabras del profeta Jeremías que vino de Dios para su pueblo.
Now, in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament,
en el Antiguo y Nuevo Testamento,
God used marriage to symbolize his relationship with his people.
Dios usó el matrimonio para simbolizar la relación.
And this is brought out here in these prophetic sayings, as we will see this morning.
Y esto nos enseña aquí en estos versos proféticas.
Israel to the north,
Israel al norte,
was constantly in disobedience to God.
Seguía en desobediencia a Dios.
Whereas Judah to the south,
pero Judá al sur,
seemingly had a relationship with God.
Tenía relación con Dios.
And what we see here in the words of Jeremiah the prophet,
y lo que vemos aquí por medio de las palabras de Jeremías el profeta,
is how God dealt with Israel to the north.
Es como Dios trató con Israel al norte.
He calls them faithless.
Los llamó sin fe.
They were constantly in idolatry. They were not serving the living God like Judah to the south did.
Siempre seguían en la idolatría y no seguían a Dios como Judá al sur.
My version here, the English Standard Version, says that Israel to the north played the whore or committed adultery, as Brother Jaime or Brother Carlos has said.
Mi versión de Biblia dice que ellos estaban en la adulatría.
They were unfaithful.
Adultera. Estaban infiel.
They had played and they were practicing infidelity against God.
Ellos estaban practicando y siendo sin fidelidad a Dios.
This means that they were unfaithful to God.
Y no estaban fiel a Dios.
And as we know, a marriage relationship demands faithfulness, doesn't it?
Y como sabemos, el matrimonio demanda que los dos son fiel.
The husband and wife enter into a covenant relationship.
El esposo y la esposa entran en un pacto.
And when there's infidelity, it is detrimental to any marriage.
Y cuando hay la infidelidad, trae problema a cualquier matrimonio.
And so the Lord talks about how Israel to the north had been practicing adultery.
Y Dios le estaba hablando como Israel al norte estaba practicando la adulatría.
And he sent her away with a decree of divorce. He divorced her.
Y se divorció de ellos.
The picture being painted here is this.
Lo que estaba enseñando es,
Israel to the north was eventually taken captive by the Assyrians.
Israel al norte fueron captivados por los asirianos.
God's judgment had come.
El juicio de Dios vino.
But Judah to the south,
pero Judá al sur,
is not learning from the lessons of their brothers to the north.
No estaban aprendiendo de los del norte.
They're seeing how God is dealing with Israel.
Ellos vieron cómo Dios trataba con Israel.
And yet Judah is becoming adulterous herself.
Pero también Judá se hicieron infieles.
She's taking it all lightly.
No lo estaban tomando en serio.
And so verse 11 is interesting.
Verso 11 es muy interesante.
It says, "And the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah."
Y me dijo Jehová, ha resultado justa la rebelde Israel en comparación con la traidora Judá.
You see, it's one thing for Israel, who could care less about the things of God, to be acting like they don't.
Es una cosa que Israel al norte actuaban como así porque no querían a Dios.
But it's worse when they claim to have a relationship with God and they are practicing outright adultery against God.
Pero era peor que clamaban tener relación con Dios, pero estaban practicando infidelidad.
And so outwardly they had this show of worshiping God.
Afuera se parecía que estaban sirviendo a Dios.
And yet they were still worshiping other gods as well.
Pero también estaban siguiendo adorando otros dioses.
They seemed to have a relationship with God.
Parecían tener relación con Dios.
But they were pursuing other lovers.
Pero estaban siguiendo otros amados.
And we must guard against the same situation.
Tenemos que tener cuidado que no nos pase la misma situación.
We must guard ourselves against dividing our affections between God and a fallen world.
Tenemos que tener cuidado que no dividimos nuestro amor con Dios y otros.
You see, what is happening here is God's judgment is right at the door.
El juicio de Dios estaba allí a la puerta.
But God in his love, through the voice of the prophets,
Dios en su amor por medio del voz de las profetas,
God is calling out to Israel to the north, return faithless Israel, declares the Lord, as we see in verse 12.
En verso Dios, ven y proclama estas palabras hacia el norte, vuelve rebelde Israel, dice Jehová.
All he wants them to do is he wants them to acknowledge their guilt and their rebellion against God.
Él simplemente quería que ellos reconocieran su rebelión en contra de Dios.
And so God graciously calls his people to repent.
Gentilmente Dios llama a su pueblo a arrepentirse.
Turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2.
Vamos a ir a Joel, capítulo 2.
And let's read verses 12 through 17.
Versos 12 a 17.
As it shows how God graciously calls.
Gentilmente Dios llama a su pueblo a arrepentirse.
I'll read these verses if you don't mind. It says this, Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. It says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?" Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, like we saw, Joel, like Jeremiah, is one of the prophets of the Lord.
Joel, como Jeremías, también era profeta de Dios.
We know Joel very much when we talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Recordamos a Joel cuando él nos dijo acerca del derramamiento del Espíritu Santo.
Peter talked about him in that Pentecostal sermon in Acts chapter 2.
En Hechos 2, Pedro habló de él en su mensaje pentecostal.
However, as we just read, he was calling to the nation of Israel to repent.
Pero Joel, como leímos, estaba hablando al pueblo de Israel que se arrepentían.
And he more specifically was called to prophesy to Judah.
Específicamente fue llamado a hablar a Judá.
Now, repentance is very important, isn't it?
El arrepentimiento es muy importante.
It's a word we really don't hear in the modern day church a lot.
A veces no escuchamos esta palabra mucho.
But repentance is still required when one turns to the Lord.
Pero es necesario cuando una persona se vuelve a Dios.
Now, repentance is more than just outward actions.
El arrepentimiento es más de acciones de afuera.
It also involves mourning over one's sin.
Incluye llorar por el pecado.
Feeling a remorse, a regret for what we have done wrong.
Sintiendo mal por lo que hemos hecho.
And it's that causes a person to turn to the gracious and loving God who does forgive.
Y es eso que hace la persona ir a un Dios que sí perdona.
I love how it says there in verse 13.
Yo amo como dice ahí en verso 13.
When it shows that our God is a gracious and merciful God.
Nos enseña que Dios es un Dios de misericordia.
He's slow to anger.
Lento para la ira.
And abounding in steadfast love or mercy.
Y abundante en su misericordia.
God is so patient with us.
Dios es muy paciente con nosotros.
And what Joel is emphasizing is that God really doesn't desire to bring judgment on his people.
Y Joel estaba haciendo el mensaje que Dios no quería castigar a su pueblo.
America today is in a bad state, if you will.
América en el día de hoy está en mal lugar.
But God desires to show mercy.
Pero Dios quiere y desea enseñar misericordia.
And that's why we've been praying for our nation.
Y por eso hemos estado orando para nuestra nación.
That's why we pray for our president and for the nation itself.
Por eso oramos por nuestro presidente y nuestra nación.
That's why we're praying for the church in America to wake up.
Por eso oramos por la iglesia en América que se despierta.
To be the church that it's supposed to be.
De ser la iglesia que debemos de ser.
The hope isn't in our president or in government.
Nuestra esperanza no está en el presidente o el gobierno.
It's actually in the church of the living God.
Está en la iglesia del Dios viviente.
But as we cry out to God for our nation and for our leaders.
Mientras que clamamos a Dios por nuestros líderes.
As we stand in the gap.
Mientras que nos paramos en oración.
God wants to intervene and answer our prayers.
Dios quiere contestar nuestras oraciones.
How many of you joined in the prayer meeting last Tuesday evening?
¿Cuántos se unieron en el evento de oración el martes pasado?
It was really nice. If you did, it was a really nice prayer meeting.
Era muy bonito el tiempo.
Of course, we know Pastor Carter Conlon personally because we were a part of Summit International School of Ministry, where his wife is the president.
Conocimos a Pastor Carter Conlon personalmente. Su esposa ahora es la presidenta de la escuela bíblica que estuvimos.
Thank God for those that are standing in the gap. Amen.
Y gracias a Dios por los que están orando.
Our nation needs prayer.
Nuestra nación necesita oración.
Part two of our lesson this morning.
Parte dos.
Is lack of repentance punished?
La falta de arrepentimiento es castiga.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 9.
Vaya conmigo a Isaías 9.
And we will see God's people refuse to repent.
El pueblo de Dios se niega a arrepentirse.
Sadly, after hearing even the prophets, many chose not to repent.
Tristemente, después de escuchar las profetas, el pueblo eligió no arrepentirse.
So somebody want to read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. This is describing how God's people has refused to repent, so judgment is coming their way.
Esto describe que el pueblo eligió negar y se negó a arrepentirse y el juicio viene.
And yet, even in his anger, God did not cease to love his people.
Aún en su ira, Dios no dejó de amar a su pueblo.
To be honest with you, God is bringing judgment because he loves them.
Dios estaba trayendo el juicio porque les amaba.
His judgments towards them or his punishment is meant to restore them.
Su castigo a ellos era para restaurarlos.
Israel and Judah to the south became so idolatrous, God would bring judgment.
Israel y Judá se hicieron tan idolatrosos que Dios trajo el juicio.
But we need to look at it as a punishment.
Necesitamos verlo como castigo.
God disciplines his children, the ones whom he loves.
Dios disciplina a sus hijos porque les ama.
And so he's doing this to get them to turn from their sinfulness.
Y hizo esto para que ellos se arrepentían de su pecado.
And so Israel to the north refused to repent.
Israel al norte negó.
And you'll read in these verses how they begin to become very divided among themselves.
Y leemos en estos versos cómo se dividían entre ellos mismos.
This division is a sign of the impending judgment.
Y esta división enseñaba lo que iba a devenir como castigo.
You have these the tribes of Israel attacking each other.
Los tribus estaban atacando el uno al otro.
And it was also culminating in an awful lifestyle of idolatry.
Y estaba enseñándose en su vida de idolatría.
Let me just say this really fast.
Quiero decir esto.
Do you think the division that's in America has any kind of significance with what we're talking about right now?
¿Piensa usted que la división que vemos en América tiene algo que tener con lo que estamos hablando?
You know, this division, this divide that we are experiencing here in the United States of America,
esta división en América,
is a sign of how bad America has become.
Nos enseña cuánto mal se ha sido aquí en América.
You know this, that we see such hatred for the president, President Trump.
Lo que vemos los que no quieren a nuestro presidente.
Is only a symptom of how bad America has become.
Es un síntoma de cuánto se ha sido América mal.
That they totally despise and want to get out of office this conservative, if you will.
Que quieren quitar este hombre de
and
su oficina.
The left is so destructive in how they want to get rid of our president.
Y tienen tanto destrucción en querer quitarlo de su posición.
This is a symptom of the corruption of America in general.
Es un síntoma de la corrupción en América generalmente.
When President Trump was elected,
cuando se eligió el presidente Trump,
it exposed the wickedness of many hearts.
Enseñó la maldad entre muchos corazones.
I'm not defending the person or his ways.
No estoy defendiendo la persona o su manera.
But what I'm saying is what we see is a manifestation of a corruption and a dire wickedness that's in our nation.
Pero vemos por medio de eso la corrupción y maldad.
We need to pray for our nation.
Y necesitamos orar por nuestra nación.
This isn't political only.
No es políticamente solo político.
There is a war going on in the heavenlies right now.
Hay una guerra en los cielos.
We need to be aware of this.
Tenemos que estar alertos a esto.
Turn to Hosea chapter 8.
Vaya conmigo a Oseas 8. Oseas 8.
Hosea is one of the minor prophets.
Él era uno de los menores profetas.
And we're going to read chapter 8, verses 1 through 9.
Versos 1 a 9.
And we'll see how God allows people to choose their own way.
Dios permite que las personas eligen su propio camino.
God doesn't force us to obey him.
No nos hace que vamos a obedecerle.
He doesn't get us by the hair on the back of our heads and force us to follow after him.
Él no nos toma por nuestros pelos y demanda que le obedecemos.
He gives us freedom of choice.
Él nos da el privilegio de elegir.
Verses 1 through 9, I'll read this one if you don't mind. It says, "Set the trumpet to your lips. One like a vulture is over the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. To me they cry, 'My God, we, Israel, know you. Israel has spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold they made idols for their own destruction. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For it is from Israel a craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And the standing grain has no heads, it shall yield no flour. If it were to yield, strangers would devour it. Israel is swallowed up, already they are among the nations as a useless vessel. For they have gone up to Assyria, a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has hired lovers." This is God's word from the prophet Hosea to his people.
Estas son las palabras de Dios por medio de su profeta Oseas.
It's God's will that everyone love him and obey him.
Es la voluntad de Dios que todos los obedezcan a Dios.
Yet it's God that gives people their own choice.
Pero Dios da a la gente que ellos pueden elegir.
And sadly, for many years, both Israel and Judah have made wrong choices.
Tristemente, los dos, Judá y Israel, escogieron malos caminos.
And in the end, they have to be judged.
Y necesitaban ser juzgados.
We know it well, don't we?
Lo conocemos muy bien.
Actions have consequences.
Las acciones tienen consecuencias.
It's a lesson that we need to instruct our children about when they're young.
Es lección que enseñamos a nuestros hijos cuando están.
So that when they grow up, they don't make those bad decisions. Amen?
Para que cuando crezcan, no eligen malos caminos.
But with every decision, there's a consequence.
Pero cada decisión tiene consecuencia.
And here, the nations of Israel and Judah have been given the freedom of choice.
Aquí, las naciones de Israel y Judá se les dieron que podían escoger.
And sadly, they're choosing their own way and not God's way.
Y escogieron su mismo camino y no el camino de Dios.
Look at verse 4. It says, "They made kings, but not through me."
Verso 4. Establecieron reyes, pero no por mí.
They set up princes, but I knew it not.
Construyeron príncipes, mas yo no lo supe.
With their own silver and gold, they made idols.
De su plata y de su oro hicieron ídolos.
Now, Hosea, if you all remember,
si recuerden, Oseas,
he was told by God to marry a prostitute and to have children from her.
Él fue, Dios le dijo que tenía que casarse con un prostituta y tener hijos con ella.
And all of this was a symbolism of Israel's unfaithfulness to obey God and their betrayal of God's love.
Y todo esto era símbolo de la relación de Israel con Dios en no ser fieles.
Israel was unfaithful to God.
Israel no era fiel con Dios.
They were committing spiritual adultery.
Estaban cometiendo la adulatría espiritual.
In other words, they forsook the covenant and chose to go their own way.
Dejaron el pacto de Dios y fueron de su mismo camino.
And it was their decisions that would ultimately bring the destruction of Israel to the north.
Últimamente, esas decisiones trajeron la destrucción de Israel.
It's the same even today.
Es el mismo aún hoy.
Stubborn, unrepented rebellion against God's will ultimately bring terrible and tragic consequences.
Los duros de cabeza y no querer la voluntad de Dios va a traer consecuencias.
It's still the same.
Es el mismo hoy.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Dios es el mismo ayer, hoy, y por siempre.
He said, "Be holy, for I am holy."
Él dijo ser santo porque yo soy santo.
Now, please don't misunderstand what we're emphasizing today.
No me malentiende lo que estoy haciendo énfasis hoy.
Aren't you grateful that we serve a God that is full of grace?
Están agradecidos que servimos a un Dios lleno de gracia.
And because we serve a God of grace, we can be in intimate relationship with Him through Christ.
Y por medio de su gracia, podemos tener una relación íntima con él.
Turn back to Isaiah chapter 11.
Vaya conmigo a Isaías 11.
And we'll see now in part 3.
Vamos a ver en parte 3.
Hope for the future.
Esperanza para el futuro.
First, the Messiah is promised.
La promesa del Mesías.
Praise the Lord for the Messiah.
Gracias a Dios por el Mesías.
Thank God for sending Jesus Christ.
Gracias a Dios que mandó a Jesucristo.
Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10.
Isaías 11, 1 a 10.
Somebody want to read these verses? These are beautiful verses concerning the coming Messiah.
Estos son versos muy bellos acerca del Mesías.
Now, God's judgment against Israel and Judah.
El juicio de Dios en contra a Judá y Israel
would eventually stop the ruling kings, if you will.
Paró que los reyes tenían lugar.
And this is interesting because God had told David, this is the Davidic covenant.
Dios le había dicho a David por medio de su pacto
that there would always be one of his sons on the throne of Israel.
Que siempre iba a haber uno de sus descendientes en el trono.
And yet now, as God's judgment would be poured out on his people,
pero por medio del juicio,
the dynasty of kings would end.
La dinastía de los reyes paró.
But then what of the Davidic covenant?
Pero qué del pacto con David.
And that is what is happening in chapter 11, verse 1.
Y esto es lo que estamos leyendo en verso 1.
It says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit."
Saldrá un vara del tronco de Isaí, un vástago retoñará de sus raíces.
This is describing how that out of the root of Jesse,
por medio de el tronco de Isai.
Jesse was David's father, wasn't he?
Isai era el padre de David.
And it describes this branch that would come out of the stump of this tree that has been cut down.
Y describe una vara que brotó del tronco.
And it describes the way that the Messiah would be.
Y describió cómo el Mesías iba a ser.
And so the Davidic covenant would be fulfilled in Christ.
Y el pacto iba a ser cumplido por medio de Cristo.
Because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Porque Jesucristo es el Rey de Reyes, Señor de Señores.
And when Jesus returns on that white horse at the second coming,
y cuando Jesús regrese en ese caballo blanco en su segunda venida,
he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem there in Israel.
Va a reinar allí en Israel.
He's going to establish his kingdom.
Establecer su trono.
And we can read some of what it's going to be like during the millennial reign of Christ.
Y podemos leer acerca del reino del milenio.
Where it speaks in verse 6, the wolf will dwell with the lamb.
Como dice en verso 6, que morará el lobo con el cordero.
The leopard is going to lie down with the young goat.
El leopardo con el cabrito.
And it describes in verse 7, even the cow and the bear will graze.
Verso 7, la vaca pasará junto a la oso.
I mean,
osa.
It even says in the latter part of verse 7, the lion is going to eat straw like an ox.
Y el león como el buey como paja.
And I really like the part where it says the children are going to be playing around the hole of the cobra and not get bit.
Y me gusta como dice que los niños van a jugar acerca del cobra y no van a estar mordidos.
This is describing the millennial reign of Christ, the Messiah.
Describe el reino del milenio de Cristo.
You see, Jesus is the son of David.
Jesús viene del linaje de David.
And even though all this judgment was pronounced,
y aunque todo este juicio se pronunció,
God still spoke hope to his people.
Dios le dio una mensaje de esperanza a su pueblo.
And then God even promises restoration. Turn to Ezekiel.
Dios promete restauración. Vaya conmigo a Ezequiel.
Ezekiel chapter 37.
Ezequiel 37.
And verse 15 through 23.
Versos 15 a 23.
And it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Take a stick and write on it, for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him. And join them one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when your people say to you, 'Will you not tell us what you mean by these?' say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to take the stick of Joseph that is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel associated with him, and I will join with it the stick of Judah and make them one stick, that they may be one in my hand. And when the sticks on which you write are in your hand before their eyes, then say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and I will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. And they shall be no longer two nations, and no longer divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more, and with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will save them from all their backslidings in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God.'" This is a promise of restoration.
Esta es una promesa de restauración.
Now, these words that are spoken by Ezekiel,
estas palabras hablado por medio de Ezequiel,
had two applications.
Tenían dos aplicaciones.
It spoke of the children of Israel being released of their captivity and their return to the land of Israel.
Habló del pueblo de Israel de salir de ser captivo y regresar a su tierra.
We read about this in Ezra and Nehemiah.
Leemos de esto en el libro de Ezra y también de Nehemías.
King Cyrus of Persia allowed the Israelites to return to the land of Israel.
El rey permitió que el pueblo regresara a su tierra.
Eventually they would rebuild the temple.
Ellos construyeron otra vez el templo.
But then Jesus would come.
Pero Jesucristo vino.
And of course, after Jesus would come and be here for 33 years or so,
y después que Jesús estaba aquí en la tierra por 33 años,
after his crucifixion,
después que le,
his resurrection,
su resurrección,
and then ultimately his ascension into heaven,
y cuando ascendió al cielo,
Israel would eventually rebel against Rome.
Israel se rebeló en contra de a Roma.
And in AD 70, the temple was destroyed by the Romans.
Y ellos destruyeron el templo, los romanos lo destruyeron.
Eventually, if their rebellion against Rome was so bad, they were eventually totally forbidden to be there in the city of Jerusalem.
Y su rebelión en contra Roma era tanto en tan mal que no se permitían que estaban ahí.
The Jews were scattered through the four winds, for the four winds, they say. It's scattered all around the world.
Y los judíos fueron a cada rumbo del mundo.
And then we have the miracle of what happened in 1948.
Y en el 1948 vimos el milagro.
With the establishment of Israel as a nation again.
Cuando Israel se estableció una vez más como nación.
We're even seeing in our day the return of the Jews to their land of nativity, the land of Israel.
Aún en nuestro día estamos viendo los judíos regresar a su tierra y en Israel.
And you've got to keep our eyes open as we consider Israel.
Necesitamos mantener nuestros ojos abiertos acerca de Israel.
There's no king there.
No hay rey allí.
But there is coming one that they will receive as their king, the Antichrist.
Pero viene uno que, ¿cuál se llama el anticristo y lo van a recibir?
And eventually, the mask of the Antichrist will come off.
Eventualmente, la máscara se va a moverse del anticristo.
And Jesus Christ himself will deliver Israel.
Y Jesucristo mismo va a liberar a Israel.
These are the promises of Jesus coming to restore the kingdom here on earth.
Estos son las promesas de restauración aquí en la tierra.
I believe that's going to happen pretty soon. Amen.
Y yo creo que va a pasar un día muy pronto.
It's interesting to consider the rise of anti-Semitism in the world.
Es interesante en pensar en cuanto no quieren a los judíos en este día.
Did you all watch the news of what was happening in New York this past week?
Quizás vieron las nuevas de lo que pasó en Nueva York.
You have Governor Cuomo. What's his name, Governor Cuomo?
El gobierno Cuomo.
He went and stopped the Jews as they were celebrating in their synagogues.
Él paró a los judíos mientras que celebraban en su sinagoga.
They will allow Black Lives Matter and other protests to happen and bring all this destruction.
Ellos permitían otros tipos de protestas.
But he just wants to, and came against the Jews and started stopping the Jews in celebrating of their feasts and such there in the synagogues in New York.
Pero él vino en contra de la celebración de los judíos ahí en su sinagoga.
Now, I don't want to single out just the Jews.
No quiero enfocar solamente en los judíos.
I mean, there's no doubt there's a rise of anti-Semitism.
No hay duda que muchos no quieren a los judíos.
And it'll probably get worse in the future.
Y se va a poner más mal en el futuro.
Because the Jews are going to be inspired or even caused to go back to the land of Israel.
Porque los judíos van a ser inspirados a regresar a Israel.
They have a friend with President Trump.
Tienen amigo con nuestro presidente Trump.
They did not have a friend with President Obama.
No tenían amigo con el presidente antes.
Nor his vice president.
No, ni su vicepresidente.
But they do have a friend with President Trump.
Pero sí tienen con President Trump.
But if it goes the way the left wants.
Pero si se va como los de la izquierda quieren.
You're going to see a rise of anti-Semitism.
Vamos a ver muchos levantarse en contra de los judíos.
But that same thing that is against the Jews today.
Esa misma cosa que está en contra de los judíos.
Is against the church.
Está en contra de la iglesia.
That's why we have churches closed all around the nation.
Por eso tenemos muchas iglesias cerradas alrededor de nuestra nación.
Thank God here in Center we're gathering together. Amen.
Pero gracias a Dios aquí en Centro podemos unirnos juntos.
But there are some churches that are closed right now and they can't get together in some of these left-leaning states.
Pero tristemente hay muchas iglesias cerradas y no se permiten unirse.
And so all of this is pointing to a future day.
Todo esto nos apunta a un día del futuro.
And we as his church need to be praying. Amen.
Y nosotros como su iglesia necesitamos estar en oración.
But thank God, God promised to Israel restoration.
Pero gracias a Dios, Dios prometió restauración a Israel.
And he still gives us a promise too, right?
Y nos da promesa también.
That if his people will humble themselves and pray.
Que si su pueblo se humille y ore.
And seek his face and turn from their wicked and evil ways.
Y busca su rostro y se arrepienta de sus malos caminos.
Then he will hear from heaven, amen?
Él nos oyerá del cielo.
And heal our land.
Y sanará nuestra tierra.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that we have been learning. We pray that as we continue, Lord, our study on the story of the Old Testament, that you would continue to open our eyes as we see the overview of the story and ultimately leading to the promise of Jesus Christ. We pray that, Lord, we would understand the story of redemption and that, Lord, we would rejoice in our salvation. Lord, we're grateful for your love, for your mercy, your kindness. And so we ask that you would continue to be with us the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen.